And you'll never walk alone.
And cut. Cheers. Thank you for that, Donovan. We have to remind our viewers that this is, of course, Hit the Target podcast, proudly brought to you by Hollywood Bets. I'm your host, Jesse Nagel, and as you could hear by the sound of Donovan's excited voice, he's in studio with us and singing along to You'll Never Walk Alone, but he'll never, ever, ever get our other fellow Guna in studio, Joshua Gaylord, on board with him. Don, you are alone. And you will continue walking.
Yeah, thanks very much. Obviously, I brought the guys' presents, Josh and Jesse.
Yeah, speaking of walking and Johnny Walker and whatever, it's not the only bottle apparently that's being discussed.
Yeah. So in our lovely studio at the moment, we've proudly sponsored by Choke. I mean Coke, because I'm sitting with two bottle FCs, so the guys can enjoy their bottled. Because obviously, bottling the top four race for me is just criminal.
I swear,
I will enjoy this Coke. Thanks, Donovan.
Hopefully, you're on Choke and the Coke.
Yeah, I just don't like the fact that's the reason you brought it. Otherwise, enjoy your hopefuls this weekend. Before we get into it.
That's a good thing to ask, Don. What will you be drinking? Will it be a Choke or Coca-Cola, or will it be champagne? Almost there, but not quite.
Yeah, well, we dare to dream, and we know we as a fan base, if there's one fan base that will dream, it is this Liverpool fan base. And I mean, odds against us. Yes, it's written in the stars. Obviously, you've got the Danny Ings factor. You've got the Coutinho factor, obviously. Steven Gerrard, legend, could rewrite his wrongs, in inverted commas, not like he had any, in my opinion. But I'm saying that...
Didn't he slip?
Let's not talk about that.
I mean, a bottle of Choke.
Yeah. But I'm saying to you, it's written in the stars that the headlines, what could be, I mean, if Villa do that, they stop Jack Grealish from getting the title. Mm-hmm. Yes, it may cost him £15 million in doing that. But there's a lot of factors riding on the Villa City game. Do I believe that Liverpool can pull it off? You know, if there's one team that would be able to pull it off, it is this Liverpool team. And just from the sheer mentality behind it, and their preparation. This is a team that's been built on never giving up.
Well, here's your headline, Josh. Let's do a bit of a headline creation of here. Steven Gerrard wins his first league title for Liverpool.
I think Jürgen Klopp would probably give Steven Gerrard the medal. It would be a good gesture.
But this was a bit of a double-edged sword.
A double-edged sword,
yeah, from with Donovan saying dare to dream, because isn't that Tottenham's thing?
I'm having a bit of flashbacks.
You guys lost us, cost us top four. You're supposed to beat them at Anfield. But anyway, but Donovan is speaking as if we're not talking about Man City beating a team that they are more than likely to beat. Mm-hmm. Look, I'd be as hopeful as Don is. They should win their fixture.
You are an Arsenal supporter.
They should win their fixture. But then again, it's still in Man City's hands. The game against West Ham was a difficult one for them. I mean, we see them bottle the Champions League time and time again. And I feel like that's the pressure that they put on themselves.
Yeah.
And in the league, currently, Liverpool is putting that pressure on them. I think that they will cope with it, in my opinion.
They will cope with it.
I think that could be another bottle, because it's in their hands.
There's that optimism coming out.
And just like how it was in their hands in Real Madrid, that game should have been dead and buried at the Etihad, in my opinion. So you've got to look at that. And those factors, those demons are definitely going to be in Pep's head, in terms of how can he overcome this. If he doesn't win the game, and most likely he probably will win the game, but if he doesn't win the game, okay, City end up winning zero titles, zero trophies this season.
And then is he put on some sort of list?
I wouldn't say he's put on some sorts of list, but I'm saying then questions will be asked of his spend power, his recruiting, what has he done, and what has he delivered? Because it would be unthinkable for City to bring back zero trophies this season.
Yeah, I think I have to. I know which list you're talking about. I'd never put him on that list. I won't even mention it. It's like a Voldemort kind of thing. Yeah. But for me personally, I think that if Klopp doesn't walk away with the trophy this season,
Guardiola,
I think that is time for him to move on from City.
Even with Haaland coming in next season.
Haaland.
Look, Haaland coming in, anybody can work with Haaland. He's a fantastic striker. He's going to score goals at any club that he goes to.
Not Chelsea, maybe.
I think that he would score even at Chelsea. I think he'd be able to fit in at any club, and he will score goals for any club. But if Pep, the person who is supposed to consistently be at the top winning trophies at minimum one a season, especially with the money that he gets to spend, I think that it's time for the owners to start looking elsewhere, in my opinion. More so because of that Champions League. That's what he signed on for. He signed on to win Champions League.
Yeah.
But he's actually come out and he said that he was never signed on to win the Champions League, which might be a bit of a farce.
Well, that's what the public will hear.
The public will hear that. But we all know, because City were winning the Premier League before Pep arrived. I mean, Mancini won the Premier League for City. So you've got to understand, and Pellegrini in that fact with the Aguero moments, you've got to understand that Pep is and still is probably one of the top three coaches in the world, in my opinion, as well as the City team is in the top five teams in the world.
I've just thought of a good question, but just a one-word answer, no justification. We'll get to it later on, because I do want to wants us to get through all 10 games happening this weekend. But Don, I'll start with you. Since their time in England, who has had a more successful spell, Pep or Guardiola? Pep or,
or Klopp.
Klopp?
I would say Klopp.
Josh?
Repeat the question.
Who has had a more successful spell in England, considering what they've done and what they've won and just everything, all things considered, Pep or Klopp? Remember, we'll justify later on. Just so...
Look, I think Pep has done it at a good level.
Pep.
Yes, we'll just say.
And you? Do I think of like complete like European domination or like English domination?
Your question was England.
Yeah.
No, I think you're most successful
at the club.
So what he's achieved in terms of what he's brought, what he got when he was there, to what he's transformed. It's head and shoulders, guys. Klopp has reinvigorated a sleeping giant.
Yeah, I really wanted us to maybe touch on this later on, but I think let's just get into it now because, Klopp has won the Premier League, the Champions League, and the Super Cup, the Club World Cup,
FA Cup
now, Carabao Cup now. Everything. In fact, every player under him, Trent Alexander-Arnold, I think he's 22 years old and has won every single tournament or trophy that they
have. Alisson. Van Dijk,
Fabinho,
Robertson.
You're naming the lineup. look, for City's standpoint, I think they've won like what, 4 league titles in 5 years now. Mm-hmm. 100 points, 98 the following year, bettering a team that could go down as one of the greats. If there was no Manchester City, Liverpool would probably be the most talked about team of all time. But there is a Manchester City and they're currently ahead of Liverpool and they have been ahead of Liverpool and they had that one shaky spell in the 5 years where Liverpool sort of capitalized on that. And I don't know, Liverpool are a great team and Klopp has put them there, but City have just been better and they just haven't sort of transformed that into the European stage where they haven't come out and won the Champions League, but they have made it to a final. So I'm on the fence. Yeah, I'm on the fence.
I think I'm kind of reconsidering my answer here. I think
it's a no-brainer
in
for
terms
me.
Of changing a club to something else. Yes, Pep has done excellently in putting his style of play into Manchester City. But I think in terms of changing the club from one thing to another, what we saw Liverpool as a couple of years ago before Klopp came in.
Mm.
We were a top four side. Now we're a title winning side.
I don't even think top four team.
I think the entire outlook of Liverpool has changed in terms of they are considered the best across all platforms. For me, yes, they played in Champions League and they won a fair one every now and again. But they were never dominant in everything.
Yeah.
I think now Liverpool has become extremely dominant in all competitions. I mean, who would have thought? I see on SuperSport there's an advert of four babies and then there's quad talk and all of these things. I mean, I think the SuperSport guys are Liverpool fans.
Simple answer, Josh.
I think Klopp gets the win.
A bit of in Pep Guardiola's defense, and I know we can't look at it like this, and football shouldn't be looked at like this, but when Liverpool did win that one Champions League under Klopp, they beat Roma, FC Porto, and Tottenham in the final. That is the easiest run of
who gets that, Tottenham
that
in
you
the
can
group
even,
stages, let alone the final.
That you can even dream of. A team that sort of, like, I think they finished fourth that season, that they won, that they made it to the final.
And you say that Tottenham knocked out City in en route to that final.
Controversially.
Doesn't matter.
Llorente, handball.
No. But it doesn't matter. So you can't try and water down a champion.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just trying to sort of make a case for both sides. Yeah, I don't want to say foregone conclusion Klopp, because it isn't.
Mohamed Salah was labelled a one-season wonder. Klopp came in and changed that. Mane.
Just normal.
Bobby Firmino. I'm mentioning players that were never ever looked at and created as world class players. Diaz, we found whoever it is that found Diaz and has walked into this team and fits it like a glove. Okay, Konate is 22 years old.
Yeah.
Okay, building the Joel Matip came for a free.
I don't like how silent Josh is. Make a case for Guardiola.
Joel Matip came for free. His numbers are better than Harry Maguire, which is the world's most expensive defender at 80 million.
Well, because it's quite the benchmark.
Look, I think Man City, Pep and Man City haven't been the greatest of matches purely based on their Champions League factor. Yes, we can look at it as he's made, I can't remember the exact stat, but so many semi-finals in the history of the competition, all of those things with the club. There is a level of consistency, but it's that final little push that's
getting over the line.
That's tainted his image a bit, and I think that's where Klopp gets the edge for me. It's just that, but we can move on
2-0.
You can't take away the brilliance that Klopp. I think he's able to. We see what his vision is all the time, and I think in any club that he goes to, be able to implement that style of play. It's just the level of quality in player that he's able to acquire with the money.
Final thing.
Yeah, I've also got one final thing
That in terms of Klopp, he's managed to keep players that are on the fringes, okay, like a Minamino, like a Jota, to understand that they will come into a club like a Origi, okay? They will come into a club and they will know their role. They will know that they will be called upon, like he said in his press interview, that the Ferraris that sit in the garage. Okay, they will come onto the field and deliver. Minamino was a top goal scorer for Liverpool for the Carabao Cup and the FA Cup. Okay, he didn't play in the final. And this is what I'm trying to say, is that he keeps those players happy and he keeps those players razor sharp. That when they need it, they will deliver. Origi, for me, would walk into any team after Spurs on the log.
Well, that's now including Arsenal, so I disagree with that. But look, one thing I do want to end on is that Sunday will be a telling story with this conversation, because if Liverpool do end up overtaking Manchester City, then foregone conclusion, Klopp has had a much more... Then I'll say it's not even a question. This question now becomes silly. But if Klopp now wins, Guardiola rather wins the Premier League title this weekend, and he sort of keeps that conversation alive and relevant.
I don't think so.
Just a hot topic because of the dominance that Liverpool have been such a great side, but they've only won one league title in the spell.
To lose the title, and it'll be our second time that we'll lose the title by 1 point. Okay, and we've pushed a dominant City side. I don't think there's such dominance.
It sounds like you want to be praised for second.
No, I'm not being praised for second. I'm saying, but if you've got to be truthful, if you look at the gap between first and second to third, okay, it is daylight.
Yeah.
Okay. There's massive daylight. I think it's a 17-point gap.
Some gap.
Yeah. That is
like the gap at Man United's defense.
Yeah. No, it's actually a 19-point gap because City on 90, Liverpool on 89, and Chelsea on 70.
I think I agree with Jesse on this one. You guys have given some good points for the listeners to take in. I think if Pep does get this victory in the Premier League again, which I honestly feel he will, it comes down to this thing of where there's always this one champion that's never beaten. Okay, we're only looking at the English Premier League here. There's always this one champion that nobody can aspire to. And there's the one challenger that comes in and they can just never do it either. Yes, they had a phenomenal team. They dominated in other aspects, but you don't beat the champion. I think that's what it comes down to here. That's my thoughts on that.
Well, let's just get into all 10 games. It is a blockbuster Super Sunday. It concludes the Premier League. It's going to be a sad day for some. In fact, I think it could be a sad day for all of us in studio because Arsenal look likely to miss out on top four. And we'll get to predictions in a moment, but Manchester City looks so hard to, you know, not to beat Aston Villa at home. But Joshua started Aston Villa, Arsenal rather, against Everton. Sort of a dead rubber.
Yeah, I think Arsenal for this season, they surpassed my expectations, to be quite honest. Mm. Yes, the hope kills you.
Still
a successful season, yeah, in my opinion. Good change of the squad, good rotations in terms of players coming in and going, and then there'll still be more in the summer. But the top four chances, I think, in terms of the build-up into this last couple of fixtures, that the loss of Partey in the midfield really destroyed Arsenal.
Yeah.
And then Tierney plays like 50% of the season for the last since he's been here. So like key players, as well as Tomiyasu, who I feel is an excellent right-back. I think they've tried to rush his comeback. So those injuries dented a bit of the results there. But as the final day of the season, I think you probably get this with my predictions this weekend. The home crowd makes a big difference on this final day.
Yeah.
It's the send off for the fans more so than the players. So yeah, I'm with Arsenal on this one. Even though I feel that I think Everton, at the time of recording, they still play one more fixture before the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know that result just yet, but even
this
if they
could be their lifeline.
If they do lose, I think the Arsenal can still get this victory. Yeah.
Don, Brentford's final home game is of course against Leeds, who looks set to be, you know, doomed for disaster. I think they're going to go down. Brentford have had an incredible season and now they get to do one final lap of honour before their first ever Premier League season.
Yeah, no, Brentford have been unbelievable this season and, I mean, could finish in the top half of the table. And that is a massive possibility. And in doing that, relegate Leeds. And yeah. I think for me, the writing's on the wall for Leeds. As much as they played an attractive brand of football under the Bucket Man, it's I'm sorry to say this, I think Leeds are dead and buried.
Yeah.
So for me, Brentford win. I think it'll be over 2.5 goals. I've taken that at 15-20. I think that's probably going to be the likelihood. I think it's going to be a wide open game. And Brentford win easy for me.
Sure, quite some confidence from Don there. Josh, Brighton against West Ham. How are you feeling there? Of course, we saw West Ham go 2-0 up against Manchester City and then, of course, surrendered that advantage. But Brighton have done quite nicely towards the end of the season as well, so they should put up a good fight.
Yeah, I think at the Amex, then again, it's the same thing as this home fixture.
Someone calls it a fortress, actually.
Man United.
Speaking of that fixture, I mean, Cucurella has been brilliant this season. I see even there's links of him moving to Man City.
Yeah.
And then as well as that midfield duo there, I think, is quality, and I think they can do well against West Ham in that regard with Caicedo and Bissouma. I think Don owes his eternal gratitude to West Ham last week, as do many Liverpool fans. Great send off for Captain Mark Noble. But I think that West Ham still have a chance at the Europa League instead of Conference League.
Yeah.
And with the way Man United still playing football.
Yeah, well,
I haven't seen them for a while.
For me, it's that West Ham game is a big one because of exactly what you just mentioned.
Yes.
I think between the Europa League and Conference League, it becomes a daylight. And West Ham could eye that as a possible target for them. You've seen the way that they played against City and getting their gutsy points.
I look at them as a Europa League team.
They've shown intent, and David Moyes will obviously gear the boys up for that. And I think against a strong Brighton team that has been playing well of late at the Fortress, the Amex. I can't see. I think West Ham should edge it. I'm a bit nervy about it just because of where Brighton's form is. But, I mean, I've looked at both teams scoring available at 7-10. I think that we should get on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
There will be goals in the game. It's the last game of the season. It's an easy...
Always.
Yeah, I think it's like my entertainment.
There's always entertainment there.
My prediction is a little bit similar to Don's. I think on West Ham with the win here, over 2.5 goals, you'd say that it's both teams to score as well.
Yeah.
I think... the side bets, the look at the lineup, Jared Bowen has been excellent this season. I think he can get on the score sheet here as well.
Quite some value. Don, Burnley against Newcastle. Of course, Burnley still fighting for their lives as well. And then we saw Newcastle claim quite a result on Monday night against Arsenal, battering a team competing for top four, battering a team that needed so much in that fixture. But Newcastle looked like they were the team that was chasing top four, and they looked like the project is on the cards to be something special there.
Yeah, the Newcastle team has turned around, and everyone labeled them the new money signings. That they're going to just be there, the oil merchants. But they've turned around. They were in the relegation zone before Eddie Howe joined them, and he's taken them to 12th, which is guaranteed safety. Burnley, it depends on what the result is for tonight's game. At the time of recording, Burnley still got two games in hand.
Yeah.
If Burnley lose to Aston Villa tonight, it would be a dead rubber. Newcastle win the game easy. If Burnley get a lifeline tonight, it's a different game because Burnley will fight for their all, and you wouldn't want a team like that. So I'm a bit wary on getting that, but I think. It depends on what the game is tonight. I've gone for Burnley to score under one and a half goals. I just don't see them scoring.
The home totals, you think?
Yeah, home totals about. Under 1.5 goals at 5-10. Because I think Burnley will go down tonight.
Yeah. Josh, speaking of going down, Watford are already booked their spots in the Championship. In fact, it's a booking an unwanted spot. It's like waiting for 8 Rand tickets and you end up paying 150 Rand. I won't mention any names out there, but... yeah, against Chelsea, who have sort of got that spot now. They got a spot, whether it's third or fourth, but they're going to be in the Champions League next season. They haven't had the best season ever. We spoke about title challenges at the start and this big Belgian striker who's coming to work wonders at the club. But yeah, for me, it hasn't been forthcoming.
Look, I mean, there's lots of sweat on the field there. I think Chelsea, they've had a... topsy-turvy season. I mean, from administration to injuries to all of that, they were supposed to be the team to come up against Liverpool and City this season, but they weren't.
Man United.
Let's not forget. But yeah, I think this fixture, if you're looking for some value, probably the corners market, overs rather than unders. I think Chelsea is scoring both halves even. You could probably get some of the Cobham players coming in, one or two, just off the bench, get a feel in front of their own fans, But Watford are already making plans for Championship next season. Chelsea get the victory at the Bridge.
How do you feel about that, Don?
No, for me, it's easy. Chelsea at 1-6, you can't get involved there. And definitely don't even look at anything in terms of a Watford Watford game. I think Chelsea in front of their new owners, it's an easy win for me. Chelsea win and over 2.5 goals at 6-10 is my play for me.
Yeah.
I think that's adds all multiples.
Crystal Palace against Man United. Of course, it's not Vieira and Keane, but it's Vieira against some part of Man United. It's not the Man United we tend to recognize these days, but Crystal Palace will be up for it, I feel, in front of the Selhurst Park for the final time now. This season, they've been looking to end a successful season on a high against a team full of lows.
Yeah, and it could be Conor Gallagher's final home game for...
It will be.
Be because he'll go back to Chelsea. My Man United friends out there and fellow writer in terms of Ryan would want this 90 minutes just to end and the season to be put behind them. I'm actually confident and I'm quite bullish on the Crystal Palace. I think they will just add another nail into the coffin before the Ten Hag season starts beginning. But before that happens, I just wanted to read a stat out for you. The gap between Man United and the relegation zone is 24 points. The gap between Man United and Liverpool is 31 points. That just tells you how far they've gone down.
Look, I don't know about successful season for Palace in the terms of they were looking to go down. I think Vieira came in and...
They've done more than survive this season, that's for sure.
They did more than survive. I think, but if you're looking at last season, I think they finished 14th or 15th, somewhere there.
But playing mad football.
I think Vieira has changed the look of the Palace team and the fans are definitely behind him. And he's what he's trying to implement. Lots of youngsters in the club as in the starting 11, let alone just the club at the moment. I think against Man United, I'd be surprised if Ryan's watching football. Most Man United fans would be watching football this weekend with what's at stake at the top of the table, let alone their own. Let alone their own affairs. Problems. I think Palace get the victory for me, especially at home.
Man United don't win that game; they end up seventh.
Yeah, because West Ham are likely to win.
So
for Europe, and
then they're in the Conference thing, League.
When you become
Cristiano
so
Ronaldo.
Obsessed with the number seven, that you end up looking to get that spot in the league. But Leicester against Southampton. Speaking of players going back to Chelsea, Armando Broja, Thomas Tuchel confirmed that this will be his last game for Southampton as well. So like Conor Gallagher, Sunday at 5 o'clock will be his final time in an opposition shirt. Josh, you like that striker?
I think when Vardy's back, Madison lights up. I mean, last week he was phenomenal. I see why there's lots of links with him and Arsenal. For me personally, I don't see him being a fit at the club. But I think Leicester get the victory. Southampton have been poor.
How did that become the question?
I think that's just the thoughts. I'm just throwing it out there, you know.
ATV. ATV recording.
I think... the Foxes get the victory. I can't see Southampton getting anything. I mean, once Southampton kind of looks secure in the table for Premier League next season, they just went down and down and further down.
Yeah.
I think Leicester get this victory, especially with Vardy back. The age, maybe next season if he's still even there, I don't know how many years he has left on his contract, but this is a big game for him as well.
Josh, I want to just stay with you and move on to the next fixture, Norwich and Spurs. It's a question that I've been thinking about since Monday night, is that can Norwich do the unthinkable and actually win their final game?
Why are you wasting your time?
Is this even a dream?
It's a final Premier League game of the season for them. It's their final home game. It's Spurs capitulating as they always do at the last moments. We remember a couple of years ago they needed... top four, I think, and got smashed 5-1 by Newcastle on the final day. That was the Leicester season, I think, and we pipped them to second. And it's just a Tottenham thing to do to just, I don't know, just break at this moment. And I'm not saying it could happen, but I'm saying that I'm not 100% ruling it out.
11-1 Norwich.
Look,
11-1 Norwich.
Value.
That have scored 20... that have got 22 points the whole season, okay? The first team that we, as a group, collectively agreed that they will go down back into the championship.
No, they'll still go down.
Okay.
But
look, They were the first to go down. but at 11-1, the bookies.
I think they started next season's championship.
I'd love to make an argument for Norwich, Jesse, but especially for
Timo
us.
Pukki.
I'd love to make an argument Finland's for Norwich, but if I am making an argument for Norwich, it becomes Norwich.
A-wish.
It just becomes A-wish. Tottenham get the victory here. If you're putting money on it, it's not even
valued
at all.
I'm not putting money on that.
But I can't see... I know what you're saying. Tottenham have a tendency of messing up at their peak. They've got a Spursy moments in them, but not against Norwich. You're wasting your time.
What I've done is I've gone for Spurs, including as a banker at 15-20, adding to all multiples.
15-20, is that Spurs' price?
And
a bit generous.
No. Including with the clean sheets.
Okay.
Spurs will win 15-20. Take it and go and run with it.
Just the two games to touch on. Liverpool against Wolves and Manchester City against Aston Villa. I've saved these two for last because it is, of course, what this league is all about. Everyone plays to win the Premier League. Some play to survive. But, of course, at the end of the day, there is one big trophy up for grabs. And it's Manchester City's. Josh?
Yes, it is. I think Manchester City get the victory over Aston Villa. I can't see Gerrard performing any miracles. Look, he's got the team playing at a certain level. It looks good, but results wise, it hasn't been the greatest. You know,
not away from home at least.
Yeah, Man City have won. Just a quick stat fact. What's it, stat man, Dave? Man City have won 9 of their last 10 against Villa, and the one that they didn't was a draw. On this final day, this occasion.
Are you telling me there's a chance?
You'll take it.
This occasion.
What's that, 9 out of 10? It's a 10% chance of
a draw.
10% chance. No, it's Man City all day. Yes, the eyes are there. You watch it, and then you can soak up those blue ribbons on the trophy.
Can't wait to see the celebrations, John.
For me, I think Liverpool.
There we go.
Liverpool win against Wolves.
Okay.
Purely because the crowd will take them over the line. I think the crowd will probably score 2 goals themselves.
If you guys played against Wolves away, you'd get the victory.
Yeah. So Anfield will be a buzz.
You're saying the stewards are going to get it.
Jota to score is a likelihood. Diaz to be prolific. Salah will be a doubtful for me.
So too Van Dijk.
And Van Dijk might be a doubt purely because of the final. But you've seen Konate and Matip playing together. Konate is a revelation, in my opinion, scoring 5 goals this season as well. Never been beaten in the 22 games that he's played for Liverpool. Mm. So that's...
But I'm is it what Liverpool do or is it what Manchester City do? Because Liverpool, I think we can all agree, is that they will win their game.
So Liverpool...
But it's not about them this week.
Liverpool win the game against Wolves, okay? City draw the game against Aston Villa.
And
how does that happen?
City draw.
City draw.
Gee whiz, I mean,
it will be controversial, but for me, in my opinion, I think City bottle the league. And then next week, I will obviously bring more coke for the table.
More choke. Yeah, more gentlemen, choke. Let's end on that note. If I could ask our sound engineers, our producers, to sort of end off on Don's wonderful tune. And until next season, gents, it's been quite an incredible ride.
It's been a wonderful ride, and I'm so glad that Jürgen is a Red.
Cheers.
For your dreams be tossed and walk on, walk on with hope in your heart, and you'll never.